was hoping for. Thank you very much.
So I'll try and quickly run through our project and acceleration plan.
We arrived in two committees this month, and then just this week pulled it from the board because we're working on some ordinance language that the board could adopt to Measure R that preserves the sequence of projects in the water extended. If we can't accelerate everything, the concern was that there'd be some leapfrogging projects ahead of, and I think the biggest concern is for the subway, but the subway people also have the concern that some will feel leapfrogged down. So we're working now for a proposal in April that was put out a notice to amend the R that then wouldn't be voted on until June. So for the next several months, we're going to be working on this project acceleration finance plan. As you know, Measure J failed, and what the proposal is, and I'm going to go through this in some of the details, is to have Proposition A and C step in where Measure J was in. Measure J was an extension of Measure R from 2030 on out to 2069. Prop A and C don't sunset, so they already are out there, they will be corrected out there, and if we could come up with a borrowing structure that had Prop A and C filling in where Measure R was, or Measure J rather, after 2040, then we could do it. So we looked at it and we've got a plan that's a little bit complicated. The first thing I'm updating the board on is that revenue forecast is down slightly, but the actual tracking has been during the economic recession, that was a serious concept. Our interest rate assumptions are down. The blue bar at the top there is our old senior tax exempt bond interest rate assumption. We are dropping that to be 4.5% for most of the life of the plan. This actually saves in the planning looking forward more money than the decrease in the sales tax forecast. So there are a couple other lines on there showing where we're getting the data to make the assumption we're making there. Next slide. The actuals are in the purple bar there, so that's showing our sales taxes are tracking well to our November 2011 forecast. As like everyone during the economic recession, we were having double the time of our forecast. The Measure R forecast is the green one. That was what the voters approved in 2008. We updated that when we adopted our long-range plan in 2009, and we did it again in November 2011, and we're finally heading to that ground of year coming the actual. So they're coming in on schedule again. Next slide. We are undergoing a major state of grid repair study. Our rail lines are getting old. Our bus system needs to be maintained. And these various lines show that the assumptions in the long-range plan in the dark blue, and then what we're now thinking in the orange. So there's quite a bit of more state of grid repair being sooner on our system than we have anticipated. So we're working to deal with that. And then finally, the call for projects is just as we promised. There is a very hard to read, but that probably shows up in the slide better, your hard copy, that the Transportation Alternatives Program that funded enhancements, cycling, and pedestrian improvements is now being restructured to GAD might do the programming and Caltrans headquarters will do the programming. So if that occurs, then our call for projects would have somewhat less money for those categories and we would be referring our applicants to those other processes. We're working with GAD on that to see how we fit in with their process. They want to focus on sustainability. Next slide. The benefits of accelerating our program
our substantial, we can get jobs created from the construction, both direct and indirect, and used in these other benefits that are shown here. So we believe it's worth doing. Next slide. The projects on the transit side that would be accelerated are shown here. You can see the cost in the long range plan and the cost if they're accelerated. That's just inflation that's causing them to go down a little bit on the bottom line there. And you can see the schedules we'd be trying to achieve. The projects in the second and third decade down here at the bottom part of the slide are the biggest beneficiaries. This is the same data but just shown graphically. You can see the blue bars are the long range plans for 30 schedule, 30 years of tax, 30 years of budget. If we can find a way to build them all faster, this is the optimal schedule that we're being told from the project managers that we can do on the agenda side. On the highway side, there are some sort of permutations that you have to go through related to some of the financial assumptions in the original one. You have a much higher level of gas taxes assumed in our long-range plan. Of course, the gas tax increase is not going to carry much. We've been told in the C3 program that we'll be driven by holes. So we're starting to tiptoe into that with the I-5 North project here and on the 10 and 110 with the congestion pricing project. So those highway questions are not just into this. The next slide shows you that this is the first decade project and this is the second and third on the highway side. Next slide. The borrowing strategy to this is the sort of banking as a little bit. The borrowing strategy is to borrow $10.2 million highway and transit combined from a series of new borrowing sources. The major arc theater bonds, those are the ones, the plain vanilla ones we've always done. The CFIO bonds are the federal loan program that's directed from the federal treasury. Those have some advantages I want to talk to you about. And then the new American Fast Forward bonds are bonds, financing mechanisms they're seeking in Congress still, which would essentially be zero interest. The interest would be paid through a tax credit to the investors in the loan. Those are actually very powerful for our program because we can move money out and not pay the interest. The federal government will pick that up. So we're working on that deposit. And then finally, a long-term 50-year bond that does what Measure J did, which is identified crossing over and crossing over to. So maybe the average of all these bonds is 30 years. So some of them are 15 and some of them are 18. Okay, next slide. There is a firewall between in Prop A for subway uses, and that's represented the last line down the middle here. You cannot use any of the borrowing that was processed in Prop A and B for the subway because the MTA Reform and Accountability Act of 1998 prevents it. So we worked out a structure where lender R would pay for the borrowings that are involved in underground work and the crossover bonds would pay for the non-subway work.
You can also, for the legal connector,
you know, right. So the regional connector is also on the underground side of this FICO. Next slide. So this shows the repayment of these borrowings. When Measure R expires, some loans will cross over and be repaid by Prop A and C and some loans. In doing so, we could borrow the amount of money we had planned to borrow to implement our Measure J acceleration plan
without having registered in place. Now, the concern one's going to have is, does this, you know, transfer our children to these advantages that they'll never be able to operate what we're doing? And I want to look at that on the next slide. This focuses in on the post-2040 environment. After we layer in the light green at the top there, the borrowing we're talking about. When you include the planned borrowing that would already be out there in terms of repayments, that's what is out there, you can see we're kind of right at the 46% level of these two sub-pieces of the top A and the C5 that we are at today. That's why 2014 debt level of 45%, and in 2040, if we do this borrowing, we're planning that we would be at around 46%. So we think it can be done, and it would be still a responsible plan, not overdoing it in terms of payments out there. These are, of course, very long-term assets. We're building the subway tunnels, transit, and highway improvements that last for more than 6 years. This is the sort of cash flow need. The top of this, what I call mountain, is the money that you would need by year to build these projects. And what we find in these estimates that we're using here is that the capital program typically slides out the project delays or other problems. And if that occurred, this math would kind of flatten out and we wouldn't be borrowing as much as we're showing in the plan to meet. But if, you know, in a perfect world where you could deliver everything on a possible schedule, this plan is intended to show we can make it and make it happen. Next one. Typically in a borrowing program, the more you borrow, so on the bottom here, those are each new loans every couple of years, the higher the interest rate, because the guys who are lending money out here see there's more risk because there are payments that are in there today. So you see the interest rates going up. What our policy effort has been in Washington is to interrupt this problem and instead get subordinate two loans at very favorable interest rates. And the next slide will show you how this works. These are the very first loan we did. That's higher than issued a couple years ago, it's only $750 million at 3.5%. Still the American bond. We did some more, or we were supposed to do some more in 2014. Mm-hmm. We also have Kipia Subway up there at the top in 2014. And you can see the trend here for the interest rates is totally different than what you'd expect. The ones at the top, the ones that are most subordinate, are 3.5% instead of that 6.5%. And that's because those loans are direct from the Federal Treasury and are backed by the Federal Treasury. So Metro can take advantage of them and make this program work. I think it's an exciting plan. There are some loans that are fairly expensive, these long-term ones. We use those sparingly, the taxable non-subway ones, to sort of close the gap and get the whole thing done. The operating side is a concern. You'll see here the service hours for rail on this column, and then the annual service hours will be operating. The black line is the long-range plan service hour level of funding. And the top of the bar there is what we would be actually operating. So you can see we're going to be opening rail heads faster and offering more service to the public if we can build an ugly plan. The colors represent how we would pay for the operation. So we are building into this plan an operating strategy that would enable us to improve service and at the same time operate what we do. The next slide shows the same data but in dollars instead of service hours. So you can see that the operating costs climb with inflation and there is some additional cost because of the materials that are added relative to the watering plan. Okay, next slide. The highway sign has the same deal, only this cost is over, it's approximately 25%. That's the highway, or transit-related highway flashlight from Chauncey. So we would also be doing highway sign improvements that we crossed over into approximately 25%. The operating concerns on approximately 25% in this slide are much different because these cannot be used for transit operations. So we have a small amount of this going for freeway service control and rideshare that's still out there and would still be available if you were out there for the community to be able to. Okay, next one. So on the highway side, the private detail is still being worked out. We've been able to get as far as giving each sub-region that has the share of Measure R some sense of where they would get money. The portion of the San Fernando Valley that's in the city of L.A., it has little or no highway commitment, so most of the San Fernando Valley is showing up there, because the city went all in transit as part of the Measure R package in 2008. There are some funds that would be made available by this acceleration for the San Fernando Valley. We built a Canova project without its Measure R. And in Measure R, what that does is it triggers a sub-regional payment back to the region. And the ordinance says by the end of the tax, meaning by 23 months. So in our ordinance plan, we put that repayment to the San Fernando Valley out in the third decade. And what this acceleration plan would do would enable you to access that money in the first decade for a capital purpose in the San Fernando Valley instead of a repayment for the economic project. A similar feature of the I-5 North and I-514 interchange with all this history. So there's some wiggle room here for the San Fernando Valley in this acceleration plan that we would like to work out with you and talk about the details more between now and June when we're going to COVID. I think that's about the end of my presentation. The highway side has a similar borrowing scheme. This shows you what the funds would be available for the total pie, and each cog has to sort of fit in there. And that's a very complicated fund sitting there that Bud and I put together and get developed and start attacking the project delivery issue. Next slide. I think that's it. Well, these are the actions that would be necessary. The amendment that goes here says March 2013. As I mentioned, that's been pulled. It's actually going to be April. And that's just a notice. It goes out and says, tells everyone how Measure R would be amended. Every city, every legislator has to be notified of an amendment at least 30 days in advance. And then there is a requirement for 1 year in advance, but not for acceleration plans. If you're accelerating the project, you can do it for 30 days. So the board would notice this in late April and then have meetings like this one through the end of June, and then I think that's the vote. It's a two-thirds vote requirement. So if there's not a consensus or nearly a consensus about it, we can't do it. We need to also secure the Tiffia loan. Tiffia MBA is a master credit agreement. That would be a package of pre-approvals, if you will, to get everyone the confidence that those loans will be there when you get out in the project. maybe the company grant agreement from the subway, the big issue from the subway side, they want to make sure that any acceleration is conditioned on getting the full-time managers. They've given up a lot of areas there are in lieu of getting the new starts money instead of full-time managers. This is actually why I was late today. We had a deadline of tomorrow for homework information to be made today. Could you allow me to the transit side and this America Fast Forward fund, that's the tax credit piece. This one, if we don't get it, then it's not a deal to us. But we would like to get it. It makes the Sepulveda Pass project, the transit one, that's in Measure R at the end of the decade, possible for Measure R. So it's important for the west side, Fairbairn and Allen connection, those are planning that. That's the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have an initial question. One is, I just want to clarify something that what we understand, because I've had people ask me to say, well, didn't the people vote on Measure R, and therefore how do we end up amending it? So presumably this is within the scope of what can be amended under Measure R.
Right. Measure R can be amended by a two-thirds vote, except for one section of Measure R, which you can't amend Measure R to have a lower vote threshold or an amendment. So they even thought of that somebody would come in and amend Measure R, change it to a majority vote, and then do something. So you have to have a two-thirds vote of our board Measure R, and you have to have all these notices and so forth.
So that's part one. Part two is, does this obviate the need for ever revisiting Measure J?
No. If we were able to get Measure J for really an extension of Measure R in the next few years here, we could switch this borrowing back to that as the loans that haven't yet been, or the bonds that haven't yet been executed. Or we could, leave it as an extension for new things. One of the advantages of accelerating things, I think, is getting them done, getting them out of the way, and leaving future boards to create a vision for themselves in the second and third decade and what they want to do. And Measure J or Measure R extension, if you follow this plan, would still be there to do some of those things. So.
And if I may ask another question, the allocation of funds under Measure J, we would have created additional funds in addition to Measure R funds, correct? We would have had more funds, but by the end of the game, we would have had more funds because Measure J would have extended the borrowing out and we'd have had additional funds.
Right. If we could go back to the very first slide, you'll see where we dropped.
And my question in that is, what was brought up under Measure J discussion was the notion that if there were more funds, would we at this point reallocate those funds and talk about where they might go, or would we somehow stay with the given plan? And there were sort of two issues, and I won't mention any names, but there were two issues on the table. Do we just stay with it as it is and go forward, or do we actually try to allocate those additional funds to other projects?
Just click on that number three, last part there. You can see Measure R expiring there. We had a drop off of good. So if we get an extension, there would be that big increment of money, $20 million, something about $1.5 billion. Going out to the whatever the new contract is. The borrowings that we do between now and that extension would not be able to be done relying on the extension itself, because the investors are going to want to know that the payments are actually there. So we'd be making those loans on 5A and C. and not making it against this increment of funds that would be available later on in the future.
So, but in terms of adding new projects, would that require that the board adopt a new long-range plan that would add projects to the spring plan of projects that completed and fall off?
Right, that would, and periodic updates would reevaluate as we go whether we're going to borrow against the intention or continue to follow this sort of crossover path in the NEP. So that's for a future discussion as we approach the possibility of another Measure J question. And about $500 million a year in total would be dedicated to debt service repayment. The layer at the top there, which I'm going to call it around $200 million or so, would be what we're talking about today here.
The light green.
Yeah, and that's what you'd be giving around.
$200 million
already. Right. Right. To get, you know, the package of highway and transit projects goes beyond what's there.
On the upside, for San Fernando Valley,
Measure J has changed in this respect that we have. because some of the reasons we're looking at putting the highway money into the transit project with the Oakland for that attention project inside the South Santa Point. So there's a gap and possibility that we do not be able to drive because we can't get the stuff on transit that we need to talk about. After 2019, we can do one. It's a part of the two-third vote. And obviously, the power would have to want that to occur. So we have to ask that.
Let me ask you a question in regard to the two-thirds majority. Yeah. What has been past practice of the history of the board when it deals with issues that require a two-thirds majority?
Well, the first one, I think, the first question we have is fair increases. I think those are three-quarters majority. So there's nowhere to hide if you're going to have fair increase. Very few of the members of the board can say, well, I don't know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The two-thirds vote is there for transit formulas. There's some call-down legislation that you've got to be in operating. I don't think so.
Has the board been successful in passing, or has it been 50-50?
Well, we got Mr. J on the ballot. That requires
two-thirds.
Well, actually, it was set up and only a majority vote. So it got two-thirds anyway.
I think it depends on what the issue is.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Sure.
Everyone has to have something in it.
Right.
Part of this plan, this plan was built to be equitable county-wide, measure our report that way. And in order to do the plan, we would need to
So you figure 100% vote on this because everybody's got something in it.
Well, we do have some,
I realize it's been around long enough to understand that.
That's a good reading, council member. Uh-huh. I'm not proficient enough in the acceleration plan to express the supervisor's concerns. I can state that he still has concerns that this is Measure J Part 2, only with more debt associated with it, and that he is not sold on it, and is not sold that this is a benefit to the San Fernando Valley. I mean, just a word of caution, I guess, or just kind of, if this were to go to the vote before the COG at our April meeting, I'm not sold that the supervisor would be in support of this.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Yes, in terms of the chair, I'll get to your request. The cost of taking issues, to come up with a project to go after it, is something that either that or not in identified at these points. Right? We have this until June, is that what you're saying?
No, that
would be in
late
June.
Well, you don't have to
have
a project
that
has to. The vote is just to notice it and for the board to vote on the plan, the acceleration plan. You don't have to have the project by June.
Okay. So we have to have a placeholder or something in there.
We already have that.
Okay.
Well, you have it at the end of the plan, and if we were to start a new one, identify what you're going to do.
It's not by June.
Well, it's not necessarily by June. The sooner you got it, well, that's the more in the hands you are.
We just take action and say, hey, we're going after it, and you may not have it clearly defined, but the idea of having a plan in place is foundation, and we've got some basis here, and plus we have the consensus that we're going to lose.
I think that
that's true. That's true for these coverage and you see. You've got a clear idea of what you want. You're going to have much more success in getting the money to raise the cash. And getting in the game is for the ones that are needed.
I think what Mr. DeGogne is saying is that the folks in the North County region in general are still not satisfied that they're going to come out, you know, fair and square on the ultimate vote on this. And that maybe by getting it more nailed down to make sure that quote geographic equity piece has been taken care of might make a world of difference in getting everybody on the same page.
The other thing too is that you may want to look to see when we did the long range plan, it was requires the quality report. We sent out a request to all the judges, the local city, the Lord County, everybody along the outside border was doing their job at that time, submitting projects, and those projects are in the strategic plan. You may want to look at those projects because those were submitted prior as a starting point rather than reinventing a wheel.
You know, the one thing that we, as a COG, have a problem with, obviously, is because we have to have unanimity. Our vote has to be unanimous. Right from the get-go, it's unfortunate that that's the way it was established, and that's the way it was given birth. So the San Fernando Valley COG was born with those stipulations, with those, obviously, we move forward and do the best we can. Well, I'm saying the other COGs who work with different, they don't have unanimity. Some of them are designed for failure. I mean, realistically, I've never been involved in anything that has unanimity both. I'm sure there might be some examples, but I haven't heard one among me yet other than the San Fernando Valley COG.
When we adopted our memory plan, the board was deeply divided. There were six on one side for the subway and pedal stop, and six on the other, and neither side formed the seventh muscle.
And I think that's why we have a new issue.
Well, we're working on 3 years.
The board member in the middle said, I'm not really driving you. Until you agree on something.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Here it is. Well, I think we're talking about two. So,
yeah.
I really think that you're getting, I don't think that in 2 months, no offense to anybody in this room, that you're going to get a priority list together. I think that they are saying that you don't necessarily have to have it in June. So you can take a little bit more time to strategically figure out what you want to do. So I wouldn't have hung up on this
June deadline. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just offering the idea that the sooner you know where what your path forward is, the more confidence you can get on actually getting it.
And give some benefits to the region that we represent.
So you can come in anytime and say, here's my list. And you'll go to the board and say, here's my list.
Okay. So, and then, David, would it also be helpful then for the COG to at least express that, yes, we do want to have participate in this acceleration fund, and then maybe, either we want to have 100% of our share in the first decade, or maybe a portion of it in stages. Something of that sort of larger, without having a specific project being identified,
right.
And at least have some kind of a direction. Okay?
At the risk of jumping the gun on our chair, I think we might be able to segue into our item three here, which is really, we can dispense with fairly quickly, and I think it's the idea of what was adopted at Metro yesterday, which was the list, our basic list of priorities, and what might be helpful on April the 11th when we have our official briefing, and that those are usually, as you know, just presentation style, you don't have as much conversation. Would be to say to us, these are your priorities. These are going to be officially recognized by Metro. The CEO has been asked to identify funding and all that thing. It'd be nice to kind of see how that sort of a proposition fits into this sort of a funding scheme. How this might be made a reality and made sooner rather than later based upon this funding. So we have something concrete to look at. What does it mean to us? It graphs and numbers are great, but I think not everybody is a number person. Some people just want to understand when they're going to get the delivery of the services and the projects. So I'm just throwing this out as an idea, and I think we can dispense with this probably with this agenda. And for those who haven't seen it, sorry, Green.
I just
want
to add that based on the board
direction,
the Senate motion for the COG to that would be helpful for you in terms of
Right. I mean, this might be something where we can actually see how it's going to affect us. And I can certainly see it going a long way toward the 5th Supervisorial District's support in seeing that there was some plan as to how we're going to actually implement the ideas that are on that motion. All right?
Still believe in no promises.
No, I understand that. I get that part. Yeah. No promises, but I think that knowing that we're moving in that direction, because the one thing I saw in this whole picture was everybody said, well, I went all in for the sort of downtown things. Well, that's a whole big old portion of the city of Los Angeles and North County above Santa Monica Mountains, sort of not really covered under Measure R.
They're not even in the plan.
No, that's what I mean. Didn't get a slice at all.
The foundation of process, mm-hmm. So the court knows what it needs to do in order to even do it again.
Because until we have that, we're not going to be in front of anybody.
And the sentiment is about you got Canoga, and you got the East San Fernando Valley North South Corridor South, and the infrastructure projects, which are
the other thing.
I get that, but I'm saying that the court board needs to have this process in place in order to respond to
that. Yeah. The other two issues, and I don't know if you're thinking about it, but all the towers have a line inclusion to Metrolink, and Ventureline, are in the San Fernando Valley, and the Antelope Valley line is within the San Fernando Valley Cog all the way up to Warren County. And so there's a lot of work going on in terms of straightening the tracks, double tracking,
I'm sorry, and I apologize if it sounds like I was criticizing what happened in the past, because what's past is past. But I'm looking at how we can improve and rectify things in the future. That's all.
I'm going to have to go, but I'd be happy to come back out.
Appreciate it. Well, we've got the election before you can come out on the island.
Yeah.
unless you've got another sign.
April 11th is your
special board meeting. It's a special board meeting, unless the chair decides that because of the change in the schedule that maybe a special meeting isn't necessary, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks to meet you all.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Keep fighting the fight. Okay, so are you able to speak? Or pretty much any comments on...
Somebody has a question on
it. Question on three? What was the vote yesterday?
I know.
Unanimous.
Was
it unanimous? So we came back to unanimity. Perfect.
There it is.
Here's another example. Moving forward, North County Combined Highway Corridor Study.
I put this on the agenda because, number one, Santa Clarita is affected by this, and Santa Clarita is one of our members. And also, I like to think that we do have concern over the entire North County because it has concern for us. I guess the question is, do we want to take it up in any way, shape, or form? I think it's appropriate if we wish to. I think it could be considered peripheral if we wish not to.
I appreciate that, Bob, and bringing to Burbank and Glendale and our other partnering entities. This is a supervisor's quote-unquote the inland port idea of a high desert corridor.
Mm-hmm.
It improves efficiency and goods movement throughout the San Fernando Valley. Keeps it out of fishing, keeps it out of speed. So there is a benefit outside of Santa Clarita to the rest of the valley from our perspective.
Well, you represent all of us. I mean, you just don't represent Santa Clarita or that, right? You represent Burbank and Clinton.
And transportation.
You're looking out for the supervisor's looking out for the interest of Burbank.
Absolutely.
The interest of Clinton, right? Because you represent all of us.
So do you think it's appropriate for us to take up?
Would you please sit on the agenda for a board of directors meeting instead of the task force series? we should just focus on, not just focus on it, but maybe have a presentation after the COG meeting, and I can't imagine it not having a unanimity agreement at the COG Board of Directors. It's not a negative. Kenya is a partnering entity, so positive for almost all of us. While it is focused on the North County, it does improve efficiency through the entire system.
I'd just like to see some benefits gained from the other neighboring jurisdictions, and I see it as a benefit, but when it's presented, let's just not focus.
Absolutely.
Did you want to
do that?
Well, since North County, there was a past North County combined study that was done many years back, and of course it was kind of dated. It needs to be updated. Actually, in that fund, it includes Santa Clarita, which is not part of So that certainly the interface. This specific action was approved by the board. It was assigned to planning. But what we're going to do, because it's looking at it as the overall planning system perspective, but we'll be we'll be happy to take the lead. We'll be happy to do that. So then we're going to be working on developing the scope and then moving it forward.
If you, a favor from our office, if you present before the chancellor, never saw anything to do, identify the benefits to the region as a whole outside of the North County.
Yeah, absolutely.
Already understand that we are a sort of North County.
All right. No, I agree. Thank you.
Okay. Incidentally, I'm not going to be here on the April 11th. I'll be outside of the United States. So if you think about it, but someone will be recommended.
We won't be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Does that remind you?
All right, anything else on number four?
Sure.
Okay.
Number five, that would be a lovely matrix.
This is just, we've kind of covered this, but this will be a recurring agenda item for this committee. If we have any other thoughts, things we'd like to think about, including, I did have a rather spirited conversation with the BLICA representative, Kobe King, and if you know Kobe, you probably do, regarding the 101 corridor, and I said, well, I don't think that was an omission, I just think that's one of the additional things we'll be talking
about. He said Kobe go out. He knows a lot
about that. Yes, I know. So anyway, so that's the only one I can think of offhand at the moment, but I'm sure there will be a few other things. We want to talk to Councilmember LaBonge's office a little bit, because as you know, Councilmember LaBonge has been very interested and active in transportation.
Right.
He may have some things he'd like to add to the tree that we haven't included so far, but we have a terrific foundation. I think that's what makes a difference.
Great. Any comments? Okay, number six.
Number six, we are still scheduled for October 17th at the Marriott Burbank Airport. The big theme here will be RITSI, the Regional Intermodal Transit Center, some of the other conversations, some of the conversations about the motion and where we're going on some of these activities. The enthusiasm level is absolutely great compared to last year. They're really very excited about us doing this. One of the issues I need to try to sort out is it gets to be a bigger project and it's more than maybe one person can handle, so I need to figure out how to get some staffing or some resources into it. And also we need to, and this is for the board to figure out, but we need to figure out our, shall we say, our approaches and mechanisms for how we pay for things and how we set it up. The last couple of times we did it sort of by the heat seat of the pants, which was frowned upon by a few folks, but we got it done. That's the important thing. Moving forward, I'd like to make it an institution and have it have a system so that everything makes everybody happy.
Yeah. Okay. It's still on for October 17th.
On for October 17th.
Just like to raise one point of clarification, that one of the things we wanted to roll out at this was the idea that the car had put in place the process, the planning process. I think a lot has been proposed, not so much having been two things specific projects, but how we as a region are going to interact with one another and put forward that and use that as a centerpiece to announce that the car is a viable transportation planning, organization. And I was just going to sort of revisit that and make sure is the bond is proposing, is that need to be discussed further, or is that going to be proposed by the, considered by the board, so that we can actually have it added to the sentence?
In other words, does it require a blessing of the board, obviously, once you move it forward?
Our perspective would be yes, only because of the ongoing concern of the supervisor and making sure that the cog is ahead of Metro on this, not Metro's only ahead of cog.
Right.
So, periodic updates, an initial buzzing either at the April or May meeting, your decision model of what is appropriate for a discussion at the board level. And then if we do get the unanimity agreement and the supervisor supports it, periodic updates to make sure that our fire regarding was being pushed and aren't circulated in another way.
The really good news in this is that now that we're starting to have some concrete positions, we can take some concrete approaches to those positions to how we move those things forward. So I think, you know, I can see for one thing maps and GIS and some other things that show what we envision happening and how the pieces fit together. And I think bringing, just like we did with the transfer and development at the last meeting, where people stayed over for about an hour. But I have to say, Peter is trying very hard to formulate how he wants to sell this, because he's the one that's been really selling our transit summit.
There's an extreme amount of interest.
Get people interested
in it. Who want to invest in this region. Mm-hmm. And if we can show them that we have the ability and the capacity to do planning, then a lot of this funding stuff, I mean, which is fine, it's going to be there, but it's a different kind of volume. That's why I suggested a strategic plan or a planning process.
And we didn't hear P3 today. Right. And that's also a piece of what we talked about. So maybe at one of our future meetings of this transportation task force, we can spend some time on P3, because that's a lot of people putting a lot of hope into P3.
Well, there's a little group across the street over here, Pete Smile, who was active at our last meeting, and Santa Clarita already is doing P3. So it's like we're got it together here. But that's all fine and dandy, but I think we need to have a coherent strategic plan and stuff like that.
Okay, all right, I promise. Well, you know, going back, as we regards to your saying not having natural lead, so that's the cost lead. I'm not familiar with situations of that you're bringing up. In the past, we've had bad experiences.
No, not necessarily. No, I don't want to say that there have been bad experiences. When this proposal was first brought to our attention, the first impression that we had, and we were trying to make sure that impression is what moves forward, is that. Why are we, and we don't have an example to draw upon that in Comandia, that the first impression we had was, why are we contracting with Metro staff when we all have transportation staff within our partnering entities that can decide upon each partnering entity's priority list that can go to the call, perform the family's priorities? Why are we not using our own people and our own partners to develop our priority list? Why are we relying on Metro to develop this plan that is going to come back before the call? That was the concern that we had. Why is Metro doing it? Why don't we have our transportation staff do it for each partner and entity? And that was the initial concern. And that's why we wanted to kind of be vigilant about that.
Do you still have outstanding concerns based on what was
said? I don't want to speak to the supervisor. I've never gotten until I brief them after this meeting. At the April meeting, and if he's able to attend or if I'm able to attend, let's see, I'm a little bit more.
He's already said he was not able to attend. Yeah.
So I'll have to give some direction from that. I can tell you that I think he is more comfortable with this idea now that we've fleshed it out a little bit more. But I hesitate to say that he's fully supportive right now.
Can I just kind of get a little bit of clarification as to what specific action was taken during the last board meeting? I remember there was an item that was very specific items on this.
Oh, didn't the lady get more information?
Yeah. I think so.
There was an assessment and strategy idea, and the idea was that Metro would put up the staffing to create the framework upon which the COG would place the components, the substantive components. That was the idea. Unfortunately, that did not get communicated by me properly. under the idea that until it's ready, let's not talk about it. That was my mistake. And so it came into the COG members as what's going on that we don't know about, and that sort of set the stage for a little confusion, which I fully understand, and I was hoping that we would be able to just walk in and say, here's the layout, what do you all think, this is the draft.
You know, I wouldn't be against having Metro doing some of the homework and bringing it back to the different jurisdictions for their bidding. I mean, for their input.
That was sort of the idea.
So, the supervisor wouldn't be in favor of doing that?
I think he would be. I think he'd be more comfortable with the idea. As long as the partnering entities take a serious look at what's happening, make sure we're all in agreement.
Exactly.
And we know, as you well know, different interest levels right now, I guess, for lack of a better word, in the cause and whatnot. And even though another council member or another entity may not be as active, we still want to leave them behind the fold, so to speak.
No, I mean, everybody has
better communication.
Everybody has a voice, everybody should be communicated with, and everybody should provide an input. And just because, you know, you put the information out there, and if you sit on it and don't act on it from your jurisdiction, it's a shame on the entire board, a shame on you for not knowing. So that delays the board. Let's put it off for another month or two, so because I didn't have time to get to it. We're talking, you know, obviously, essence. Time is of the essence. We need to act on it. We need to act on it, especially for the summer. But anyway, okay, we'll move forward. Let's not delay this meeting any longer.
So let me just make one request. Each member of the COG, I'd like to have them sort of try to give us some assistance. I haven't asked for much help, but some assistance with the Mobility Summit. So we make sure, one, we have all the right input for it, and two, that we have a little bit of help in putting it together and make sure that we're not at cross purposes in anything we do. That's something I'm working on. So,
in terms of subject matter?
Subject matter, or even from a standpoint of how they would like to be involved. There were some of our COG members that didn't attend the last time around, and I feel as though maybe the outreach to them was not sufficient. It could have been on my part, I'm not sure. But that we want to make sure that those who want to be involved have a part in it. And it's their call. That's the reason why they're here. So I know that Councilmember Telemontes has always been a big part of it, and certainly Councilmember LaBange and a few others. Anyway, it's been a good group. But I think we could have done a better job last year of reaching out to the rest of the members to participate in some way. Because it was a wonderful event. It's just absolutely terrific.
If you do say so, you should.
If I do say so.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Anything else on the summit? Thank you. So still on track for October 17th here at the Marion Burbank. Okay. Concluding recommendations and updates. Do we need to have anything?
I would only ask, when's our next meeting, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, good. We'll discuss that.
And while we do that, we also have some appointees to various commissions and committees, including Robert Newman, who's on the Metro's Act Committee. And we haven't had regular communications or reports or feedback from that. I think it might be useful in future meetings to have those individuals involved.
Yeah, let's send out the word that we'd like to have some kind of report back. Okay, anything else before we adjourn? Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for showing up today, and sorry it took a little longer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Very helpful.
And